What if every product you touched, every space you entered, every medical treatment you received was designed for someone else's body? Not intentionally excluding you, but simply forgetting you existed in the first place. This isn't science fiction. It's the daily reality for half the world's population. From the moment women step into cars that are more likely to injure them in crashes, to the moment they're prescribed medications tested primarily on men, they navigate a world built around a single template, the male body. The consequences range from the mildly irritating, smartphones too large for women's hands, to the potentially fatal, heart attack symptoms dismissed as anxiety. This isn't about malice, it's about absence. When data collection systematically excludes women, the resulting world doesn't just inconvenience them, it endangers them. We rarely question why mankind supposedly includes everyone, yet we instinctively picture men as scientists, leaders, and hunters. From Aristotle declaring women deformed males, to modern textbooks positioning man the hunter as humanity's evolutionary driver, male experience has been treated as universal truth. Studies claiming humans evolved toward lethal violence conveniently ignore that 96% of homicide perpetrators are male. That's not human nature. That's male behavior being universalized. This erasure runs deeper than language. Viking skeletons buried with weapons were assumed male despite female pelvises, even though up to 37% of Scythian warriors were women. Cave paintings attributed to male hunters, likely created mostly by women. When female remains challenge assumptions, the evidence suddenly requires extra scrutiny. Skepticism never applied to male skeletons. Language reinforces this daily. Job ads using masculine terms reduce women's applications and interview performance. People recall more famous men and suggest male candidates, even for roles like beautician. Women's achievements vanish. Virginia Wade's Wimbledon victory, U.S. Women's World Cup wins, composer Fanny Hensel's work published under her brother's name. As scientist Hertha Ayrton observed, errors attributing women's work to men have more lives than a cat. When Swedish officials examined snow clearing in 2011, they discovered their neutral policy was deeply gendered. Prioritizing major roads over sidewalks and bike paths ignored that women comprise two-thirds of public transport users and walk far more than men, who dominate household car access. Women don't just travel differently, they travel more complexly. Men commute in straight lines between home and work, while women trip chain, school drop-offs, medical appointments, grocery shopping, elder care visits. Yet transport planning dismisses these trips as non-essential. When Karlskoga reversed priorities, clearing pedestrian paths first, injuries dropped by half. Women, who comprised 69% of those injured, benefited most. Yet male-dominated transit agencies deny gendered safety concerns exist, even as 90% of French women and two-thirds of Brazilian women have experienced harassment on public transport. The solutions aren't expensive. Transparent shelters, better lighting, digital timetables, request stops on night buses. Women prefer security guards over CCTV cameras, preventative measures, rather than evidence collection after assault. Yet agencies install cameras on buses when women feel most vulnerable at stops. Why? Because the men making decisions don't experience the threat women navigate daily. October 24, 1975, the Long Friday. 90% of Iceland's women stopped everything: paid jobs, cooking, cleaning, childcare. Supermarkets sold out of ready meals. Children flooded offices as schools closed. 25,000 women rallied in Reykjavik, remarkable in a nation of 220,000. The strike exposed a truth. Working woman is redundant because all women work, just not always for pay. Globally, women perform 75% of unpaid work, 3 to 6 hours daily versus men's 30 minutes to 2 hours. Women didn't stop working when entering the workforce. They added a second shift. The health toll is severe. Women have less leisure time, fragmented into snatched moments. Married women recover worse from heart attacks than single women. Women working over 55 hours weekly face dramatically increased mental health risks, a threshold that doesn't affect men because they aren't simultaneously managing unpaid care work. Women accommodate by working part-time, 42% of UK women versus 11% of men, earning less per hour and working below skill level. The gender pay gap balloons to 33% in the 12 years after childbirth. German women with one child earn up to $285,000 less by age 45 than childless women. Iceland's strike changed everything. The Gender Equality Act passed the following year, the world's first democratically elected female head of state 5 years later, and now Iceland tops global gender equality rankings. When Sheryl Sandberg endured 9 months of severe morning sickness at Google, she finally asked Sergey Brin for pregnancy parking. He immediately agreed. He'd never considered it. This pattern repeats endlessly. Workplace problems persist until senior women experience them. Office temperatures suit male metabolic rates. Doors are too heavy. Equipment fits male hands and strength. While overall workplace fatalities have plummeted, serious injuries among women workers are rising. Care workers like Beatrice Boulanger, who needed shoulder replacement surgery, receive minimal training for heavy lifting despite moving more weight than construction workers. Why? Occupational research focused on male-dominated industries. Safety standards are based on reference man, a 70-kilogram, 25- to 30-year-old Caucasian male, despite women having different immune systems, hormones, body composition, and skin thickness. Equipment designed for men injures women across industries. Agricultural tools are too heavy, construction materials assume male grip, and 74% of personal protective equipment is designed for men. Meanwhile, hiring algorithms rank candidates by social capital, measured through online activity, disadvantaging women who have less leisure time. Companies teach women to self-nominate like men do, ignoring that men overestimate their abilities while women accurately assess theirs. The solution isn't making women more like men, it's questioning why male behavior is the standard. Evidence-based interventions work. Quotas weed out incompetent men. Changing job ads from aggressive to collaborative dramatically increases female applicants, and blind recruitment has increased hiring from underrepresented backgrounds from 5% to nearly 60%. Sex differences exist in every tissue and organ system. Women who smoke the same amount as men are 20 to 70% more likely to develop lung cancer. Autoimmune diseases affect women 3 times more than men. Yet women comprised only 25% of heart failure trial participants between 1987-2012 and just 19.2% of antiretroviral study participants, despite representing 55% of HIV-positive adults in developing countries. After the 1960s thalidomide scandal, the FDA issued 1977 guidelines excluding women of childbearing potential from drug trials. Some researchers still insist female bodies are too complex to test, despite studies showing greater variability in male mice. When women are included, they're typically tested during their early follicular phase when hormones are lowest, ignoring how hormonal fluctuations affect drug efficacy. The consequences are deadly. A 2014 cardiac device review revealed a critical disparity. The 150 millisecond threshold for implantation worked for men but was 20 milliseconds too high for women. Women with electrical waves between 130 to 149 milliseconds experienced a 76% reduction in heart failure or death with the device, yet guidelines excluded them. Between 2004 to 2013, women experienced over 2 million adverse drug reactions compared to less than 1.3 million for men. Heart disease has been the leading cause of death in U.S. women since 1989, yet it's perceived as a male condition. Women are more likely to die following heart attacks because their symptoms are dismissed as atypical. Instead of chest and left arm pain, women often experience stomach pain, breathlessness, nausea, and fatigue. Traditional angiograms identify obstructed arteries, but women often have heart attacks without such obstructions, leading to dangerous, non-specific chest pain diagnoses. Women's physical pain is routinely dismissed as emotional. Endometriosis takes 8 to 10 years to diagnose, despite affecting 1 in 10 women worldwide. Studies show women reporting pain receive sedatives or antidepressants, while men receive pain medication, despite women having higher pain sensitivity and experiencing chronic pain conditions at significantly higher rates. Period pain affects up to 90% of women, with pain described as almost as bad as a heart attack, yet treatment options remain limited. When a 2013 study found Viagra provided total pain relief for period pain, researchers couldn't secure funding for larger trials because review panels did not see dysmenorrhea as a priority public health issue. The solution is straightforward. Close the female representation gap. When women hold power, they remember women exist. Women in film employ more women. Female journalists quote female sources. Female authors overwhelmingly write about female subjects, 69% compared to just 6% of male biographers. As female history faculty in the U.S. rose from 15% to 35% between 1980 to 2007, those specializing in women's history increased tenfold. Women also interpret data differently. A female anthropologist questioned whether a 28-notch antler bone was man's first calendar. What man needs to track 28 days? She suggested it was likely a woman's creation. Three themes defined women's relationship with the world: the female body's invisibility in design, the paradoxical hypervisibility regarding male sexual violence, and most significantly, unpaid care work. Failing to collect data on women's lives naturalizes sex discrimination while rendering it invisible. The persistent excuse? Women are too complicated to measure. But the world isn't designed for humans. It's designed for men. Until we count women, half of humanity will continue navigating a landscape built for someone else.